The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
We are just 10 days into Ramadan, and 150 people have been killed by terrorists claiming to be holy. That doesn't sound right. I am not intimately familiar with the five pillars of Islam, but that doesn't sound like something would be... Is that the third or fourth? That's not a part of it.
None of them, really, yeah. No.
This is so crazy. I mean, you know, if somebody bursts into your house and you believe it's wrong to kill people and you defend yourself or your family and you end up killing people, you know what? That's acceptable. That makes sense. That's in defense. But when you get to the point where you are actively going out and killing people in some greater belief of defense, that how do you not at some point go, maybe that's not just about self-defense?
Yeah.
When you're plotting, it's no longer self-defense, guys. Sorry.
No, not at all. It makes no sense whatsoever.
And greater good?
Infuriating.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be just incense you. I cannot imagine being in that situation. Because when I see the Westboro Baptist Church douchebags and similar type people, and the Westboro Baptist Church isn't even killing people.
No, yeah.
But just seeing them, and I'm like, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's... I mean, all the people out there, when you see them going, God hates fags out there, and I'm like, what are those to do at the military funeral, you idiots?
It has nothing to do.
It's got to be just frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you see them... killing, I kill for you, I kill for Allah. It's like, no, man. No,
dude. No, absolutely. Maybe a little talk here.
No, on so many levels.
It's got to be horrible for you. Well, it certainly was horrible for all of the people with the latest attack over the weekend. Saturday night in the London Bridge. This bizarre attack there. Seven people killed, a couple of dozen injured. The way that whole thing rolled out. Wow. It's what I said the other day. Someone is going to incorporate a couple of these techniques together.
Yeah.
So in the past, you've seen suicide bombings. That's not uncommon. So the London attack, you've seen bombings, and then they go on the run if they weren't suicide bombers, and then they cause terror and destruction and murder everywhere they go. So they'll flee a bombed area, shoot people on the run, stab people, whatever it is, more bombs. But this is the first one, I think, where they drove a vehicle into people and then hopped out and started killing people other ways.
Is this the first time they did something?
Anything on a mass scale, yeah. There may have been an incident or two where someone jumped out. Mm-hmm. But in this case, so they drive across the London Bridge in a van.
Right.
And run a bunch of people down. Could have been much, much worse. Mm-hmm. When it comes to a stop, three douches hop out of the car with big knives and start stabbing people, cutting them in the throat.
Like restaurants and stuff.
Right, and then they did that. This could have been much, much worse.
Yeah. It's, I think it's the first time that they did it without, like, any kind of, intentional of, like, a bomb or
no, you know,
like something mass exploding, casualty kind of right? thing.
Yeah, they did find the four bombs that the police did a controlled detonation. Right,
yeah, they found.
To
oh, they
the
did
London Bridge.
In the van, or like on the? No.
That was just out there.
Oh, okay.
And then the douches, mm-hmm. like you said, had a suicide vest with canisters.
Uh-huh. But they're fake, right?
Well, that's what they're saying. We haven't confirmed if they're fake or not, but they're saying they had canisters.
Wait a minute. You're going to go into this with fake ones?
I know.
I mean, it works if you have no intention of like that level of conflict where you're like, seriously, man, give me the money, put it in a bag, small bills, or I'll do it. It works there. But if you're already killing people and you're like, and
just
they're getting ready.
Blown.
Right. Back off or I'll detonate. What is that? What
does that mean? I think that means they were thinking they were going to get out alive, right? I mean, why not?
Maybe.
Have a,
I mean,
watch out. There's a snake on my cans. You know?
Right. I mean, just... womp, womp, womp. That's a fail. But this shows how they're combining these. And as I watched it, because this took a while, they were on the run, so to speak. And Saturday night, I'm looking at this. It took several hours mm-hmm. for them before they finally shot these dudes. I'm thinking, and I even said to Chris, I was like, wow, this is a fail on their part. I mean, yeah, they killed seven people, created terror, whatever. This could have been 10 times easily as bad as that. Yeah.
Why did they even stop the van? You think, like, just plow
well,
people
out of the van? The whole stabbing thing.
That but they plus wanted to get out and stab people?
Well, plus, I think they had run out of places to run people over.
Yeah.
They may have come to an end there. But can you imagine if they had planned this a little bit better? Or if one of those douches, like in Nice, if the guy had gotten out of the vehicle and started stabbing people on top of that mm-hmm. and had a couple of bombs placed, they could easily kill 10 times. So that's coming. Someone's going to be better at it.
So right now, they arrested 12 people.
In connection?
In connection with this. 12 people. It hasn't been 24 hours yet.
And how many did they get with Ariana Grande? About 12 as well.
About 12. Mm-hmm. And then out of those, I believe, 8 out of those 12 are women.
Really?
That's kind of different.
I'm like, whoa!
With the Ariana Grande one, they had two or three women. Yeah, women like that. Sadly, one of them was not Ariana Grande. Not for the terror attack, just because she's an idiot.
Too soon, Doc.
Is it too soon? No, that was like a week ago tomorrow, or 2 weeks tomorrow.
She just did a concert yesterday.
Oh, okay.
One Love Manchester.
Can I say something about
she's
that?
All about love.
Okay, she did the concert for Manchester, raising money and all that.
Good, that's great.
$2.5 million.
That's amazing.
3 hours.
But there was bombs and terrorist attacks in multiple places. Why is it only Manchester gets...
Right, no, you're right about that. I mean, look at it, how prolific it was. 22 people killed at that one. Over the weekend or last week, we had one in Baghdad. No, in Afghanistan.
Concert from Afghanistan or a concert for Baghdad.
I mean, I understand, like you said, we identify with America first and then the West and so on and so forth. And I get it. And that's good. But because she was there and it sells well, it's good marketing. You know what I mean? And who gets the
money? Why not a concert for terrorist victims, you know?
Exactly. And who gets the money?
Divide that money up to, you know, as many as you can, help as many people as you can.
So since Ramadan started, you had the London Bridge attack over the weekend, Manchester 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, last week, twin suicide bombs in Baghdad, a massive suicide bomb in Afghanistan that killed almost 100. I think it was 90 or so. And then they one in Manila at the casino hotel. That one's unconfirmed being related to terrorism. It's just going to be all the craziness going on in the Philippines right now. But the grand total right now, even without the Manila thing, is about 150 people. And we're 10 days in. You've still got, 20 days or so left of Ramadan. Last year, 400 people died, most of it in one attack.
Wow.
20 more days. And how do you, again... put that this is a holy time and not get it.
It's not. That's why. It's just it's the antithesis of what it's about. And that's why that tells me that these people don't even know what they're doing. They're just killing for the sake of killing. And they've corrupted so many people to think what they think. And it's just
this is why I say we really think of it wrong, because we tie it to religion and it's terrorism and these things. But when you set it in your mind that it's more like a gang, even more so than the mob or organized crime, it's a gang. It's the same thing. You're justifying all of this bad because of some perceived wrong. It's not even necessarily a wrong. It's perceived wrong quite often. And then it just builds up in your mind. And it's the same thing. You brainwash people into doing stuff because you tell them they're wrong and somebody else wronged them. Meanwhile, the guys, the jackasses pulling the strings, aren't the ones who are actually blowing themselves up. That's the most heinous thing about this, that aside from all of the killings and doing it in the name of religion and all this stuff, and you're injuring people, The idiots who are pulling the strings are not the ones. They're preying on other simpletons to go and do this, or people that they are able to brainwash. It's incredible.
I saw a video online over the weekend of like an Iraqi soldier defusing a bomb off like a 12-year-old. This kid was walking around, and he was actually part of the refugees coming into Iraq from, I think, from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And he was alone, and they noticed he was like, you know, he was holding his stomach and just acting strange. So they went over and they found him, and he had a belt around him.
And somebody put it on him, basically?
Yeah, somebody put it on him and sent him through. And the soldier was like disarming it and getting it. The kid was, you know, terrified. And I don't know.
Did you see the London police's response? What people should do in this case? It's a three-step plan.
I did hear about this.
Run, hide, tell. Run, hide, tell. Number one, you must, as it says, run to a place of safety. This is a better option than to surrender or negotiate. If there's nowhere to go, then number two, hide.
Okay.
Turn your phone to silent and turn off vibrate. Barricade yourself in if you can. Three, tell the police by calling 999 when it is safe to do so. Now, is there anything there that you wouldn't naturally do any? Isn't that inherent?
No. Because when I hear a terrorist attack, I go, instead of run.
Engage. I'm not armed. Engage. Flip the bird. Have lunch.
And
what
then
is
not turn off my phone. Actually, I turn on my playlist. And
is that what
music.
It is?
And I'm like, rock on.
It's a Puerto Rican dance party there. Run, hide, tell.
I like the little cartoons. I like the
the little dude running and then somebody hiding behind a little thing and then a little phone. I'm going to I just tweeted out a link to it or whatever with the hashtag better three-step terrorism reaction. And just the number three, I didn't write it out. Better three-step terrorism reaction. A lot of people were suggesting things over the weekend, like draw, aim, shoot. Might be a way to go.
I like that one.
Could be something you want to handle there.
I think a question, though, like let's say you're out, whatever, and all of a sudden something like this breaks out around you.
I think about that all the time.
I question whether I would, if I could, without harming myself, I'd try to take these bastards down.
Oh, without question. Another, you know? Yeah. Even if it is potentially harming myself, it depends on the search. If the family's there, they get taken care of first. They've got to be safe. I got to get them out of safety or to safety. If it's me, then I'm less concerned and I would engage more quickly.
But you wouldn't run it like if you see a guy with, let's say, a machine gun doing this. I'm not going to run open at him, being a target.
I'm
going to
try
to find a way.
No, exactly. You have to decide. But, am I running at him? How likely it is I'm just going to shoot? You get shot dead and it's all over.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a way to do it. And nobody knows for sure how you react. But I've thought of the guy that in church a couple weeks ago, or was it last week? Whatever it was.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, where the guy's walking up or whatever. I'm like, okay, get ready here. I'm like plotting my move.
Did you channel your inner Wonder Woman?
I did, my inner Wonder Woman, exactly. And I was ready to engage him. And then I was like, wait a minute, he might just be moved by the spirit. Wait a minute. Just couldn't sure. I'm like, I'm taking the guy out and the guy's just speaking in tongues. All right, there was some different reactions on MSNBC and the mainstream media by this terrorist attack that I had. I mean, I was angry, frustrated, upset. We even talked on Saturday night. We did a Facebook Live. We talked about solutions. Solutions to this stuff is, first and foremost, in the short term, profiling. You have to profile.
Well, profile.
That's not to say, that guy has a turban on. Let's go ahead and shoot him in the head. It's not that. It's profiling based on actions, not on just your faith or how you look. And profiling based on several things. There's a whole process you go through, but it is profiling in the short term. Long term, long term, we have to educate and we have to fix the economy as best we can in America and then lead the world. I mean, that's how it works. You want to stop this in the long run and get everybody on the same page. It's got to be about education. It's got to be about economy. Short term, protect America, secure the borders, and profile. I mean, there's your answer. But MSNBC and some of the other mainstream media folks had some different reactions to the terrorism over the weekend. We'll get to that coming up next on The Morning Blaze.
The
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
MSNBC and the mainstream media had some different reactions than I did for about the terrorist attacks over the weekend. For example, the anchor Richard Liu, L-U-I? Lee? Liu? Lai?
Sure.
Louis
from MSNBC. He questioned if we were reacting properly to the terrorist attack. Listen carefully. And here we are.
Yes, in the United States.
When you have analyzed these incidents post facto, as well as during, as you have so many times with me and others here on MSNBC and NBC News, what is the risk? There's certainly a risk of underreaction, but is there any risk of overreaction, of deploying too much? You know, as we've been watching all of this live coming into our satellite center here in New York City and then beaming it out from London, is there ever a point where you go, well, that's too much, or that you shouldn't be applying that amount of force there?
Well, you know, in the city that's experiencing the attacks, and when there's multiple attacks, really, I don't think the response can be too large to get enough officers and investigators there to quickly quell it and then find out what's going on. It's really not a question of too many officers. It's a question of, you know, using them adequately, smartly, getting all the help you can get. So,
is there a possibility of overreaction?
Yes, Doc. There is.
What's the overreaction?
We got too many cops and too many guns on the streets.
You don't know if there's 100 of these knuckleheads and they're still killing people. We don't want to overreact by stopping them.
Is there a possibility that you have maybe more than half a brain in your head?
I mean, I
don't think that's so you can have that in your head. No.
It's difficult to question this stuff while it's going on. You see what I mean? If the terrorism immediate threat was over, like, okay, we've got all these guys in hand and they're spending $75 trillion and every cop on the planet was in London, you go, well, there's not an immediate threat. Maybe that's a little overreact. But during the immediate threat, when you didn't know if there was 100 of these people, what is overreaction?
How can you overreact in a situation like that?
Well, when you're looking at it post facto and facto and probably pre facto, when you're looking at it post facto, do you? So that was one MSNBC reaction. Then Thomas Roberts, the anchor at MSNBC, was interviewing the mayor of Atlanta, Mayor Reed. And then a little while later, he interviewed Howard Dean and asked them both the same thing, or suggested the same thing to them. Listen.
Anywhere it's happening, no. Look what just happened in Manchester.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Manchester is also facing, you know, a lot of, they have runs and concerts and activities.
I don't think that's it. Okay, one more time here. Because this is Thomas Roberts, first of all, with the mayor of Atlanta, and then with Howard Dean. Here we go.
You want to make sure?
I ask you, you know, the president doesn't want us to be politically correct, right? So let's not be PC about this. Is the president trying to provoke a domestic terrorist attack with this Twitter rant? Because only to prove himself right.
Well,
also said we got to stop being politically correct. Get down to the business of security for our people. If we don't get smart, it's only going to get worse. I asked this of Mayor Reed, but it seems like the president's trying to provoke something that he can politicize more for his own gain in America. Do you feel that way?
I think he's totally incompetent.
So even Howard Dean was like, I think he's totally incompetent. Thomas Roberts asked, is Trump trying to provoke a terrorist attack in order to prove himself right that there are dangerous Muslims in the world? Basically is what he asked him. By tweeting and challenging the mayor of London and others who had some failed ideas, because the mayor of London had basically said, London's the safest city on the planet, and all of this stuff in the past.
Yeah, last year he came out saying, you know, they're not a problem. This is not going to happen to them. They're safe.
So, I mean, the president was poking him in the eye a little bit, but his tweets had some basis in reality. Listen, terrorism is still a threat. London, it's been proven, is not the safest city. I mean, this stuff still can happen. But an anchor at MSNBC just asked if the president's motivations by tweeting this is to encourage a terrorist attack.
How is that even? I don't see the connection.
Well, I can see the connection because the president also tweeted out and said, this is why we need the ban, the travel ban.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I could see that maybe being...
It's a stretch.
It's a stretch, but that's the only way, that's the only connection I could see where... Because the mainstream media got upset when he tweeted that out, where they were even refused to put his tweet on the screen and report on that.
But it's amazing. You think this is his that he's sitting there in the Oval Office going, it'll be tremendous, we'll provoke something, and I'll look good. You honestly believe this? You really think that, and for what reason? To prove himself right. Not to be tougher on America or
right, just to make himself look
or tougher or to protect America, right? Tougher on terrorism, but just to make him look better? Are you that delusional, Robert?
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
From the terrorist attack on the London Bridge over the weekend. So Chuck Todd was speaking with a columnist from the Washington Post by the name of Michael Gerson, and they had some really interesting thoughts about it. Listen carefully.
So this extremism in UK society for too long, and then she put it right on a little bit on Silicon Valley, you know, and they need a little bit more help there. But that's gonna create some tricky conversations.
No, I completely agree with that. I mean, this is a... this is a case where,
that's all right. Heather, sure. Jump in here. I mean,
that was very enlightening.
Wow, very good. Very insightful.
I got so much information.
I guess so.
Well, you're like, you're on a roll. Like, I forgot what I was going to say here. But,
I absolutely agree with the, The only thing missing was I'm passing out. I'm passing out. I mean, that happens to all of us at times, and it happens on the air at times. But this guy, I don't know what he was trying to, was it a name or a thought he was going to? And then it was just like, I can pull it out. I can pull it out.
I got it.
As the interviewer, okay. You're like, do I give him some time? No, it's okay. It's all right. By the way, with the terrorist attack over the weekend, a little note for you. Former Gitmo inmate Sabir Mahfouz Lemire was one of six people from an ISIS recruiting network arrested last week.
No.
Yeah, a guy from Gitmo.
The one that Obama released and said
Wow, another case of a Gitmo prisoner that has been linked to some terrorism. Now, this guy was freed in 2009. When France agreed to take him.
We'll take him.
I'm sure he's reformed. Fine, yeah. He's going to be great. One of six people detained in Bosnia in 2001. This is how he got arrested. He was with six people in Bosnia in 2001 on suspicion of plotting to blow up a U.S. embassy in Sarajevo. But last week he was busted again as part of a terrorist cell. So,
shocker.
I'm sure it's profiling. He wasn't really involved in such things. Did you see the 1,500 people who were injured Three of them seriously. Fortunately, there weren't more serious injured, but 1,500 injured at a soccer match.
Because they thought...
They thought it was a bomb. Right, they're in like some finals. Yeah. I don't follow soccer, who cares?
They were at the like a town square.
Okay, and, partying.
And then all of a sudden, panic erupts.
It was fireworks to celebrate.
And they all trampled each other.
They all flipped out and started trampling. A kid from China, a Chinese kid, was there. He was trampled almost to death. A couple of other people seriously, but 1,500 because they thought it was a bomb.
They thought fireworks were a bomb?
Right. I mean, celebrations at an event like that, you're going to have, you know, fireworks, right? I mean, that's... So
people
we've now gotten to the point
alarmed.
That
we're going to have fireworks. Don't freak out.
Right. I mean, that's been 15 years ago, 20 years ago. People were like, hey, it's fireworks. But now you hear that stuff. And by the way, if you hadn't run and it had been an explosion, people were like, how come you didn't run? But shows where we are right now that many people would assume that any type of explosion would be a bomb. Would you assume that?
Honestly, I would probably. Well, don't you look up in the sky and you see the.
Well, it may have been more like on the ground with like, you know, M80s or something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
Throw them on the ground.
I mean, it would definitely make me look twice. Be like, what was that? Was that, it's just fireworks or?
Right.
But then you start seeing.
So if you're
running
in the stadium and you see pretty lights in the sky, you're probably not going to.
Yeah, you're not.
But if you're on the ground, you're right. So what this tells me is if you want to create some sort of terrorist situation, mm-hmm. you do it when there's other fireworks present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because then people are like, oh, wow, that fireworks is they're really
the
loud. It's almost like it's right next to me.
The thing, too, with like, you know, I guess today's terrorists, you'd say, you can't really defend against this type of terrorism. You can't defend against someone driving a truck over people.
Right,
or,
you can.
You know.
There's no way to completely get rid of that
stuff. That's
the
whole point, I guess.
Right. That's it. That's what makes it so horrible. All right. Get some tweets in with the hashtag what I learned today. And also a couple of people suggested better three-step terrorism reaction. Let's see here. Aim, shoot, reload. Scream, poop, faint. Pull out. That would be.
I don't think you want to poop and then faint.
You want to faint and then poop?
You want to faint and then
poop. You want to do that word? I don't think it's good either way.
No, but you don't want to be, you know, conscious. Like, oh, my God, pooped. I'm about to faint.
That's probably more in line with what I would do. Pull out gun, eliminate terrorist threat, enjoy bacon sandwich.
That's always a good move. If you're about to die, grab your bacon sandwich.
Okay, this is just so bizarre because I didn't know this was possible, but I like where your head's at. Not just to fight terrorism, but I just like it at my house. Number one, and this is from Syria1701, lots of bullets / bombs, aerosolized bacon grease, and weaponized shame. Wow. Weaponized shame. Aerosolized bacon grease.
That's interesting.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah,
I think
know.
That's...
Yeah.
That helps fight terrorism and...
Delete that tweet.
Enjoy that.
So we need that idea.
Aerosolized bacon grease. Protect your home and make it smell like yummy bacon year-round. Aerosolized. Is that a word?
I think so. You aerosol something. When you
aerosolize?
Aerosol.
It is now.
Past tense.
It is now.
Wow, interesting. That would be certainly fun. Get them in with the hashtag what I learned today. Also coming in, other good ones coming in. Lori D, listener number 9. She's Cal, where are you? She wants to know how come you're not apologizing.
Do we need to
remind
you of this? This should be like automatic.
Yeah, I'm just shocked you're not more vocal about
Cal's
the apologies.
Apology of the week, Cal.
Right now, apology of the day, sadly.
Hey, been doing this for a while now.
Uh-huh.
I would like to apologize on behalf of
we call them douches.
Yeah, okay. These douchey, inbred, most likely cave dwelling morons for murdering innocent people in the name of, I don't even know anymore.
Allah Akbar.
No, I wouldn't say in the name of, their own version of it, but
you know, inbred may not be that far off.
I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm serious.
And cave dwellers,
right? Yeah. And maybe not immediate, but you know, back in the day, people didn't travel in America too, but certainly in like small towns in Italy and Europe or whatever, people didn't leave their village. You know, they'd be like, "What's in the next village?" They're like, "I don't know." Even when my sister lived in Sicily in the '90s. she was like, hey, we're thinking about checking. And then people are like, they had no idea what was literally in the next town. They're like, we're in our town.
There's no reason.
Right.
Why you want to go next door?
So when you're in that town and no new people are coming into that town, it may not be direct inbred, but, you know, eventually it's all going to get commingled, right?
Second cousin.
Right. And it's taxing on the DNA. You need some new genetics in there.
I mean, I don't know how it happens, but I would just, if someone were to come to me and say, you know, let's go kill some innocent people, I would think twice. But I don't know. That's just me.
You wouldn't be like, yeah, right on. Let's go do that.
I really would like to know, like, the process of radicalizing someone.
Let's go.
I want to know where it starts, because how do you go from, I'm sure it starts with, do you want to be a good Muslim? You know, this is, and they start coming from a place of faith and then end up on the polar opposite let's go kill women and children.
At some point, I feel like you're right. Even if it's slow.
Yeah.
At some point, there's the step that is more significant than the other. Right. There's got to be, like, you look at all the steps and you're like, hey, how you doing? Hey, you're a person of faith. Hey, you want to be a good person of faith, right? And you do this, but at some point.
Some point, it's like, so this, this weekend, we're thinking of going to the mall and killing some people. Like, hey, guys.
Right, exactly.
Hey, I thought we were going to get together and shoot some hoops.
You know? I imagine it's similar. Anytime you ask a difficult question, you're trying to ease into it, right? Like we talked before, like, you can't joke about asking another couple to be swingers, right? At some point, you got to put it out there. You're like, hey, how you doing?
You got to ask the uncomfortable question.
Right, so you like sex, right? We all like sex, right? So,
you know, your wife's looking pretty good.
Right.
What?
Exactly. What? I was thinking, you know, we all get together, go to the swingers club.
I'm sure it
next
starts
step
with, like,
is in there.
You guys want to come over on Friday night? Right.
There's got to be, at some point, there's a more significant step.
We're going to play Parcheesi.
Right. It's like asking your spouse when you want to do something that you know they're going to be pissed. I'm thinking about going to Vegas next weekend with the guys.
Right.
So it's like, hey, I bet, you know, we could all use some time away, some vacation. At some point, it's
like,
thrown out there.
So we're going to blow up a bomb at a concert. What?
Right. Wait, right. I thought, exactly. It was the girl who mentioned genital herpes or genital warts with me. Remember, I told you that? At some point, it's out there.
So I've got genital warts. Right. What?
Right. So we're having dinner, and she's like, hey, I dated that guy. It didn't go so well.
Just throwing it out
genital
there.
Warts.
I've got genital warts. I think I might have the salad.
Right. At some point, there is one step that is more significant in the chain of getting you there than the other ones. Crazy, man. I want to tell you about Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory that's helped a bunch of people here at The Blaze and thousands of Blaze audience members and thousands of people who don't listen to The Blaze, because it's an anti-inflammatory that actually gets rid of your pain, because it gets rid of the inflammation. Inflammation is what causes a lot of pain in your body, and unfortunately, most of the things we do just masks it. And unfortunately, some of the things we do to mask it become less significant the longer you use them. Plus, they have all kinds of side effects. Deal with the pain by dealing with the inflammation. Get rid of it once and for all. The stories, the emails we get of people going, all right, I tried this stuff. Oh my gosh, thank God I tried it. It took a couple of weeks and it's gone. Most people will see results within 7 to 10 days. You could try a 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95. So that's plenty to get you started. So you get rid of the pain and you finally get rid of that thing that's been driving you up the wall and causing the frustration on top of the pain. If you know somebody that's suffering with chronic pain, maybe suggest it to them. Again, it's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start pack. Call 800-500-8384 to get yours. That's 800-500-8384. Or you can go to relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. With Doc Thompson.
Okay, come on, guys. We got to get beyond the political correctness and the attacking anybody who says anything wrong, attacking anybody who is trying to be funny and has a fail. Move on. It's not hurting you. You don't like it. Don't support him anymore. Move on. Stop calling for him to be fired. And just don't watch him. Don't listen to him. Be done with the thing. Come on. Really? Over the weekend, Bill Maher on his HBO show dropped an N-bomb. He was interviewing Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska. And if you haven't heard it, it's going to be offensive to some people, funny to other people, mildly amusing to others, not funny. There's going to be a whole host of reactions. Mine was, okay, kind of funny, probably inappropriate for a lot of people. No, it's going to get him in trouble. And then I moved on. But of course, everybody melted down. So Senator Sasse is asking him about coming to Nebraska. And he's like, oh, I don't get to Nebraska very often. You know, it's flyover country, basically. Right, uh-huh. You know, and he goes, well, come on, we'll have you help you out. Work. You can work in the fields with us. Let me play the clip, then we'll talk.
To Nebraska more. You're welcome. We'd love to have you work in the fields with us. Work in the fields?
That's part of that. That's...
Senator, I'm a house. No, it's a joke.
I'm a house N-word.
Yeah, I'm a house N-word.
All right, that's
which,
it. So,
which is, I mean, everybody knows what that means, you know.
Right.
During slavery, they had
people who worked in the house.
Slaves that worked in the field, and then they had the, I guess, less daunting work in the house.
Less daunting, yeah. Treated better yeah. Quality of life.
So he's saying he can't work in the fields. He's a house N-word.
Right. Exactly.
And everything. Like, come on. I mean, seriously, in today's day and age,
you can't.
Use that word. It's like, I mean, it's just. Just stay away.
Just don't listen to
him. Why say it?
So a show that is it politically correct, is that it?
Politically incorrect.
Politically incorrect.
Yeah.
And now you're offended by something you heard on a show called Politically Incorrect.
I don't know.
Is it still called that? That's what
yeah,
it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, sorry. That
it's
was the
real
old
time.
One.
Yeah.
Real time with Bill Maher.
Yeah, he had a show called Politically Incorrect.
Politically correct,
and you know he's politically incorrect.
Yeah.
It's on HBO.
Yeah.
So
yeah, wait a minute. That's a good point. You know, it's on HBO. HBO plays plenty of movies that drop that word.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Subscription TV. It's not public.
And by the way, it's comedy. If you don't like it, don't stop calling for him to be fired. Listen, I don't agree with Bill Maher politically on just about anything, but he is funny at times. That was mildly funny, especially working the field.
He's obnoxiously funny.
Right. Obnoxiously funny. And that's it. Fine. If you don't like it, don't watch. I don't watch it. Because I don't like all the crazy political stuff, and I'm too cheap to pay for HBO. But regardless, that's it. So first of all, Bill Maher is called out by even people that love his show, the people on the left.
Right.
Then Ben Sasse is called out. Ben Sasse didn't go, that's right, Bill, N-word, N-word, N-word.
But he didn't say, Bill, how dare you?
What was he supposed to do?
Well, according to his tweets.
Okay. If he responded with a, hold on now, Mr. Maher, that's offensive to some people. You know what people would have said about Ben Sasse? That he's a politically correct snowflake.
Right.
And if he doesn't react, they say, well, you're empowering, you're racist, you're yeah. whatever. Ben Sasse had nothing to do with it. He was sitting there. Anybody could have been sitting there. And I'm tired of people demanding that when somebody else says something, you react in a certain way, otherwise you agree with them. I mean, look at tweets. We put in our tweets to retweet does not equal endorsement right. or necessarily believe it.
Just because he was in the same room with the guy.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.